Hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we are finishing up our sermon series called Grow, where we've been talking about things that we need to know to help us grow in our relationship with God. And in this week's sermon, we're going to be tackling how you can tell if your faith is actually growing. Because it's easy to tell when something like a plant is growing. If you plant a tomato plant in your backyard garden, all you've got to do is put a yardstick in the ground beside it, and you can see how quickly that plant will grow. But it's not so easy to tell when our faith is growing. So how do we know when our faith is growing? Well, let's get right into this week's episode and find out.
So I'm going to start this morning's sermon by breaking one of the cardinal rules of preaching. And this is a rule that I learned from my preaching professors in college and in seminary. And it's something I try to follow every time that I get up to preach. And Tom Long, who has taught preaching at places like Princeton and Columbia, explains some of the background for this when he says, "Introductions have the job of pricking the ears of the hearers. They serve the same purpose as a drum roll or a trumpet fanfare. They provoke the curious interest about what may come next." Or as a colleague in ministry has put it to me, what we're trying to do is simply get people to hear what we're going to say. So one of the cardinal rules of preaching is that the beginning of every sermon should grab people's attention. But I'm not going to do that today. Instead, I'm going to take the exact opposite approach. And I'm going to start this sermon with something so boring that you're more likely to fall asleep where you're sitting right now than it is that you'll listen all the way to the end of the sermon. So how am I going to begin this sermon? Well, I'm going to invite you to take a trip back in time with me to your third grade life science class so that we can talk about the life cycle of a plant. And I'll just go ahead and warn you before I get started, there's a good chance that I'm going to end up sounding like Ben Stein's character in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And everybody loves Ben Stein's character in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but nobody wants him for a teacher. So I apologize ahead of time, but you're forewarned with it. So let's dive in. Let's start talking about the life cycle of a plant. And the life cycle of a plant begins with anybody? Anybody? Bueller? A seed. The life cycle of a plant begins with a seed. And you plant the seed into the ground, and if it's planted under the right conditions, the seed will grow roots and grow into an immature plant called a seedling. And the seedling will become a stem, and the stem will grow branches. The branches will grow leaves and blooms or blossoms. Those blossoms will produce fruit. The fruit will give its seed up, and if the seed is properly planted, it will begin the cycle all over again. But why does anyone who's worshiping with us right now, whether you're here in person, worshiping with us online, care about the life cycle of a plant? To answer that question, I'll stop doing my poor excuse of a Ben Stein impersonation, and I'll remind you of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks here at Malvern Heights. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about one of Jesus' most well-known teachings. And it's a teaching that Jesus shares when his disciples, his closest followers, come to him one day and they ask Jesus to help them increase their faith. And as Jesus responds to this request, he compares our faith to a mustard seed. So, if we want to fully appreciate and understand the analogy that Jesus is using here, then it helps if we have at least a basic understanding of the life cycle of a plant. Because for us, when we start following Jesus, when we begin our faith, we start like that itty-bitty, teeny-tiny mustard seed. We start with a faith that is small, a faith that is frail, a faith that is fragile. But with God, our faith can grow into something incredible. But it starts in that same process of the life cycle of a plant. In order for our faith to grow, it has to be planted somewhere, which is what we talked about last Sunday. We have to plant our faith in our daily lives where we are right now. And if we plant our faith where we are right now, it will grow roots and it will eventually start growing into a seedling that will mature. But here's the question that I have for you today. How do you know if your faith is growing? Think about that for just a second. How do you know if your faith is actually growing? Because here's the thing. It is really easy to tell if a literal plant is actually growing or not. I mean, if you decide that you want to plant some tomatoes in your backyard garden, it's pretty easy to figure out when the tomatoes are growing. You put the plant into the ground. If you want to, you can put a yardstick right behind it. If you come back every couple of days, you can check on the progress. But soon with a tomato plant, you're not going to have to use a yardstick to see if it's growing or not, because that stem is going to grow branches. The branches are going to have blooms. Those blooms are going to turn into tomatoes. So it's easy to tell if an actual plant is growing. But it's not so easy to tell if your faith is growing. I mean, it's not like when you come into church, we could put a spiritual growth chart by the door and kind of mark your progress on it every single week. Or when you come to church, I can't ask you to step on a scale so that we can weigh and see how much your faith has grown. And if I even try to ask you to step on a scale when you came to church, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be unemployed, and I'll have a black eye to go along with it. So, if we can't tangibly measure how our faith is growing, then how do you know that your faith is growing? Well, for a lot of people, a lot of people who go to church, we think the answer to that is that we're simply becoming better Christians. And that means that we become better at doing the kind of stuff that Christians do. So if your faith is growing, it means that you get better at reading the Bible. And you can really start racking up any time that there is a Bible category on Jeopardy in the evenings. Or it means that you get better, you start to learn more and more hymns, and you might even contemplate joining in the choir someday. It means that you get better at saying prayers, and you may even throw in little flourishes of Elizabethan English from time to time with it. It means that you never miss a church service, unless the preacher's out of town, because we all know those Sundays don't count. I'm joking. I'm on vacation the next 2 weeks. I expect you to show up for church, all right? You're welcome, Joe. It also means that you always wear your Sunday best. You get comfortable wearing those stuffy suits and those itchy dresses because Mama always told you you need to wear your Sunday best whenever you go to church. And it means that instead of telling people goodbye, you get way more comfortable wishing them to have a blessed day. But is that really the way that you can tell if your faith is growing? Because I got to say, if those are the metrics that we want to use to determine if our faith is growing, then my faith is tall as one of those majestic California redwood trees. Because I'm pretty good at all those things, and I'm not trying to just pat myself on the back here, but I'm so good at Bible trivia that I can tell you when the publisher makes a mistake in the questions that they ask, which does happen. I am comfortable enough I can pray eloquent prayers, and I may get confused with my these and thou sometimes, but that's okay. I know enough hymns, the first line in the chorus is for enough hymns, that it will keep me singing as I go. And you probably do too if you know what hymn that verse came from. And yeah, I don't like wearing suits and ties, but I've got a closet that's full of them that I can break out from time to time. And I have even been known to tell people, to say bless you to people, even if they haven't sneezed. So if these are the metrics that we want to use to figure out if our faith is growing, I'm doing pretty well. And the reality is most of you are too, right? Because most of you are at least as good, if not better, at all of those things than I am. But are these really the metrics that we use to measure our faith? If they are, I'm in the midst of a California redwood forest here. So it seems kind of silly to spend our time together today talking about how we can tell if our faith is growing. So this could be a point where I just wrapped up the service, sent you guys all home so I can start on my vacation. But since we're here in church already, we might as well see what the Bible has to say about all of this. So if you've got a Bible close by, why don't you go ahead and grab it and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse 10. Here's what it says. It says, hear the Lord's word, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to our God's teaching, people of Gomorrah. All right, I kind of hate to say it, but after reading that verse, this thing may not be going in the direction that I thought we were going to go this morning, talking about how our faith in God actually grows. But we've already started reading in Isaiah, so we might as well continue on and see what else he has to say. So let's keep reading. Goes on to say, What should I think about all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm fed up with the entirely burned offerings of your rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I don't want the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. When you come and appear before me, who asked this from you, this trampling of the temple's courts? Stop bringing worthless offerings. Your incense repulses me. New moon, Sabbath, and the calling and assembly, I can't stand wickedness with celebration. I hate your new moons and your festivals. They've become a burden that I'm tired of bearing. When you extend your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even when you pray for a long time, I won't listen. Your hands are stained with blood. Now, I don't know if you were actually listening along as I was reading that passage or not, but in this passage, God makes it pretty clear that he despises every aspect of the people of Israel's worship. Everything that they are doing for their faith, all of their prayers, all of their offerings, all of their holiday celebrations are repulsive to God. So to think about this another way, if this passage was being written today, God would be saying something along the lines of, I hate your worship services. Your prayers stink. The songs that you sing, I loathe them, and that means even when you're singing Amazing Grace. Your sermons are sacrilegious. Your Holy Communion is abominable and abysmal. And why are you bringing offerings? I don't want any of these things to begin with. That's what God is saying to us in this passage, is that all these things that we want to use to measure our faith, to figure out if we're growing in our relationship with God, are wrong. Reading your Bible, saying your prayers, going to church, these things aren't what matters the most to God. But as we keep reading in the book of Isaiah, we're fortunate enough that he's going to explain what does matter to God for us. So let's continue reading in verses 16 and 17, which say, wash, be clean, remove your ugly deeds from my sight. Put an end to such evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. I want you to listen to those verses again. Wash. Be clean. Remove your ugly deeds from my sight. Put an end to such evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That's God's measuring stick to see if our faith is really growing. And you'll notice from those two verses that they don't include any of those churchy kind of things. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here today, because those churchy kind of things, they are still important. But they are not the fruit of our faith that God wants us to grow. These churchy things, reading your Bible, saying your prayers, attending worship services, they enrich the soil where your faith is planted. But they are not the fruit that you are supposed to be producing in your life. Just not the way that it works. So instead of focusing on reading your Bible and saying your prayers and attending church services, we need to be focused on something else. So to put it another way for you, it doesn't matter how well you can quote Scripture if you don't live out its message. It doesn't matter how well you can quote Scripture if you don't live out its message. I mean, you can stand up here with me. We can stand around. We can talk all day about a passage like Matthew 25, where Jesus gives us the parable of the sheep and the goats. And we can talk about what Jesus teaches us there when he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came and you visited with me. I was sick and you took care of me. But that doesn't matter if you don't feed people, if you don't give people something to drink, if you don't visit people, if you don't take care of people, if you don't clothe people. And it doesn't matter how many hymns you know or how well you can sing them, because we can sing songs like one of my personal favorites that we're going to wrap up the service today with. They'll know we are Christians by our love. But it doesn't matter if you can sing that song and know every word and every verse of it, unless you live out the love of God that you sing about in that song. It doesn't matter how eloquently you can pray. It doesn't matter how generously you give. It doesn't matter how nice you can clean up. None of those things are the fruit that God wants us producing in our lives. These aren't the things that really matter. Because your faith isn't measured by what you do in church on Sundays. Your faith is measured by how you live every single day. Your faith isn't measured by what you do when you're inside a church building on Sundays. Your faith is measured by how you live every single day. And I got to tell you, if what God says to Isaiah is the measuring stick for our faith, I don't really think that I'm one of those majestic California redwoods. My faith probably looks more like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree, if that's the standard that we want to use. And yours probably does too. I mean, just listen one more time to what Isaiah says. It says, "Wash, be clean. Remove your ugly deeds from my sight. Put an end to such evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." If that's the measurement for if your faith is growing or not, there's a few things that you need to think about. Like, when was the last time that you helped someone who was being oppressed? Someone who's being held down or restrained by someone more powerful than they are? When was the last time that you defended an orphan or any child in need? When was the last time that you pleaded for a widow or spoke up for anyone who's voiceless in our world? When was the last time that you did something to help someone who would never be able to return the favor? When was the last time that you served someone that you didn't even know and wouldn't see again? When was the last time you even talked with somebody who didn't share the same opinions that you do? The reality is, if the measuring stick for our faith is what Isaiah talks about, most of us have a lot of growing to do. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, "Preacher, are you sure? Are you sure that this is the measuring stick that God wants to use for our faith? Because it is way easier to dress up and play church than it is to help the oppressed, to defend the orphan, to plead for the widow." This is not easy, what Isaiah calls us to do. But it is exactly the fruit that God wants us to produce if we're growing in our relationship with Him. Now, this is the point where I usually wrap up the sermon, but I'm not going to do that quite yet today. Because up to this point in the sermon, all I've really done is kind of step on your toes and make you feel guilty while you're here because your faith isn't what you want it to be. But if we finish right here, all I've done is make you feel bad about yourself. I haven't given you anything, done anything to actually help you grow in your relationship with God. So before we wrap up, let me give you a little bit of hope. Let me give you a little bit of encouragement. Because here's the reality. None of us can turn back time. We can't rewind our lives. We can't go back and change the way that we've lived up to this moment. We can't go back and change the way we live out our faith up to this point in time. But what you can do, it's change the way you're going to live. Change the way you're going to live out your life from this moment forward. So if you look at your life and you realize that you're falling short on the measuring stick that God wants to use for your faith, if you look at your life and you see that you're not producing the fruit that God wants you to grow, if you look at your life and you see that you're not doing anything that helps other people, especially other people in need, it's not too late change. But what you have to do is make a commitment. You have to commit yourself to helping the oppressed, to defending the orphan, to pleading for the widow. You have to commit yourself to doing things to help other people, sharing the love of God, showing the love of God, living out the love of God in your life. So don't leave this time together today feeling bad about where you are in your faith. None of us are perfect. We all have room to grow. So go from this place convicted and convinced that you are capable of growing in your faith, that you're capable of being the person that God made you to be, that you're capable of doing everything that God calls you to do, that you're capable of going from that itty-bitty, teeny-tiny mustard seed of faith, growing into something incredible, sharing the love of God, showing the love of God in our world. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, you know that none of us are where we want to be or where you want us to be in our journey of faith, God. You know that all of us want to have a faith that is growing. We all wish, we all dream of becoming those majestic California redwoods, God. But oftentimes when we look at ourselves, we feel like we're Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. Because God, doing the things that you call us to do isn't easy. Speaking up on behalf of the widow, helping the orphans, being there for people who are oppressed, those aren't easy things, God. It's way easier to put on some nice clothes and walk in the door of a church building and spend an hour or two there on Sunday mornings. But that's not what faith is about, God. Our faith is about producing the fruit that you want us to produce in our lives, a fruit that helps the world around us. So God, help us to be your people. Help us to do what you call us to do. Help us to produce the fruit you want us to grow in our lives. And allow us to be the fruit that helps other people have the seed of faith planted in them. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has shown you what it really means for you to be growing in your relationship with God. Because it's not just about reading your Bible and saying your prayers and going to church services. No, if you're really growing in your relationship with God, then you're producing the fruit in your life that God wants you to produce. You're helping people who are hurting. You're giving to those who are in need. You're speaking up on behalf of people who are voiceless. You're doing whatever you can to serve those less fortunate than you. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I hope that you'll come back and join us when our next episode drops, but it's going to be a couple of weeks because I've got some vacation coming up. So come back in just a few Sundays and join us then, or you can come and worship with us live online every single Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.